Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting live from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com, your source for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With your hosts, Iggy Garcia, David Tucros, Katie Singeneagle. The call in number is 646-595-3440. So kick back and relax and enjoy the show.
Church type healing where you go around and you lay hands on people, but that kind of healing, he said he would like to experience some more of that.
Now, if you're unfamiliar with what we do, we take our big powwow drum, our big mother drum, which is probably about 3.5 feet around, and we put it in the center, like the hub of a wheel, and then people will lay out from that with their heads touching the drum, and then lay with their feet pointing outwards, so it looks like the spokes of a wheel. And traditionally, we do it outside, where you know we have room to have people do that all around the wheel. And then I will walk around as Iggy is drumming and leading the healing. I'll walk around with rattles, and Katie will sing. And we weren't able to do that because the weather turned on us, and I thought we would get the rain like we did, but we did it inside the shelter instead. We spread a tarp out, we put the drum down, and then people, they laid there, and although it was a tight space, that made it more intimate, I thought. You know, I thought people really connected with it. The people who weren't laying down held hands and kind of formed two circles or a spiral almost around that, and it was just as strong for them as it was for the people by the drum, and you could just tell it was amazing. And I love how the rain just suddenly...
It started when we began that.
Yeah, it started when we... And it was just a deluge. I mean, I never saw that much rain.
I thought it was going to come into the into the shelter house.
Flood in there,
because that creek was, you can see it. It was just up to the land. The creek that runs beside the park.
Wow. I was oblivious, okay? Because I don't know where I was. I was just being the hollow bone and doing my work.
You
guys were holding energy and doing what you did.
Something else is that everybody sang this time around too. It wasn't just me, so I didn't have to hold the notes myself. Everybody was singing in their own, and it just sounded like a harmonious chorus because there was so much. It all blended together in harmony, and
that vibration.
It was just,
and the gentleman with the didgeridoo, he set that.
He was just called to do it. He was like, you know, it's not the first person who's done that with a didge, but it was just like, on cue, you know?
Right.
Spirit's just on cue, you know? There's just no...
Right.
You know, we're kind of cool about that kind of stuff because some people get really bent out of shape about,
sure,
you know, tradition.
Oh, you're
and you're, you know,
ceremony.
But, you know, I go, if it feels right, you know, usually we go with it. But if it doesn't feel right, we usually will say something. But most of the time, you know, it feels right.
Right.
And, you know, it was like the lady who I was working on, she had a stage 4 cancer who was there. I don't know if you were aware of that. We did have a lady who... And she was just like, just totally... Just the love was flowing through her amazingly. And then we've, you know, we have people who are crying and laughing and,
sure,
and just indifferent, you know, whatever they needed at that time. But I can't tell you, that spaceship took off, man.
Yes.
I mean, we were like not on planet Earth.
No.
I don't know. We were like on Waterworld or something because it was amazing. And then Deb told me right after we finished the ceremony that it stopped raining as soon as we finished as well, as soon as we came back. It's just like that.
It was there for that time and that purpose, you know. And, it was very cleansing, very healing, and very intimate. So.
That's what the rain is very symbolic. But one thing I like is that one of my good friends from high school days, his name's Mark, he wouldn't mind me telling this, but he comes from the same kind of background I came from, which is the very right-wing, evangelical type of background.
Right.
And I've been trying to get him to come out to something, see what I do, because at one time he thought I had jumped off the deep end and I've left my first love or my first faith, which is belief in Jesus. And I said, no, I'm still a minister in that sense, but I have enhanced my ministry by looking into other forms that worship God, worship the Creator. So he came out, and he and I was able to explain everything to him, and he understands, and he would like to experience some more of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But in his self a little bit, he's a little bit scared. And I'm like, you got to forget about everybody else out there and do what feels right for you and what the Creator has for you to do on your path, not because you're trying to fit in here or fit in there or make somebody happy. I said, make yourself happy.
Right.
So I hope we see him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe
he's pretty strong. He carried that whole box of canned goods.
He is. He's always
been a bodybuilder. I don't know if I can carry this.
He's always been a bodybuilder and worked out, and we used to date and all that, but our paths went different ways, mm-hmm. and he had always been a bodybuilder, and he was the only guy that I could not wrestle and beat, or arm wrestle and beat. So, and that's
okay, let's go, Katie, right now. Put him down right here.
And I'm a big. I've always been big,
yeah.
and I've always been strong. So
let's play soccer. I know what my strengths are.
So
you are. I hug you, and you're like solid rock. Yeah. It's like, you know, stout, but man.
And he didn't mind.
I was a wrestler
in high school in different places when other kids and stuff. He didn't mind me being big. It's mm-hmm. just like we clicked mm-hmm. from day one.
That's great. I'm glad he got a chance to come out and see that. I'm pretty sure Jesus would have had a good time at our drum circles, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would have brought the lepers and the blind
yeah.
and, you know,
yeah.
the tax man. And probably brought the permit guy.
Yeah.
So, hey, you got a permit for this place?
I'm going to heal you.
One thing I didn't, I'm kind of sad about is that every time we dated, we fought like cats and dogs. We were always on each other because we knew each other too well. But then when we were just friends, it was smooth sailing. So that's
it's
like
that sometimes.
One of our ministers, we were about getting married at one time. One of our men said, you all can't get married because you all be done killing each other sometime down the road. So we decided that we would not marry each other
yeah.
but remain good friends the rest of our lives.
It's,
so it
good,
worked
you know.
Out.
You
know?
Don't want marriage to ruin a good friendship.
No.
Yeah.
It could happen, though. For those of you who have tuned into the show, for later on here around 6:15, we're going to have Baker Dan on. You know, he's going to be talking about alternative cookings and bakings and just, you know, different ways of looking at life and eating differently, better. So hopefully we can patch him through at some point. If not, we just continue with the show
yeah.
and keep going, so like we always do. But, yeah, just the way.
Then on Saturday, actually, we did a drum circle guided
yeah,
meditation drum. Their weekends get so busy.
Yeah.
You know, they pass so fast. But that's when I do the work and the play that I love to do, so... But we were over at the Blessed Be Spiritual Shop down in Grove City, and by invitation we came there and led a guided drumming, and just kind of an introduction to drumming for some people,
mm-hmm.
which was very, very, always very cool to do, you know, to turn people on to that. We had a request from the person who asked us to come there. Mm-hmm. It was her birthday, so she wanted to go to the beach. So
yep.
Iggy led her on and we went on a little trip to the beach and into the woods and discovered our totem animals, and you know, we're given a gift from spirit to take back, and I kind of flew to a dolphin water world or something. that was awesome.
Did
yeah.
you travel too while you were there?
I was there. I could
okay.
see it all. You know, that's why I said I saw a white dog when you mentioned dog, and almost everybody there said, "Yeah, my dog was white
yeah.
too. White dog, like a big Pyrenees or something." You know,
I was just trying to be like Sulu on the dashboard there,
yeah.
making sure that we're going to the right bubble.
Yeah.
Okay, ready to launch.
Yeah, that was a great time, and then the pre-party for the drum circle
that was fun
gathering
too.
At Garcia's.
Just a whole fun week.
I actually bruised my thumb that night too, and that's why I stopped drumming, is because my thumb started to swell up. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't watch Putzi's video how to put your hands on the drum?
Oh.
He put that on so you don't hurt your thumb.
I guess I'll have to watch that now.
Yeah, it's
but
on the...
I was
the...
trying to keep up with Cullen and everybody.
Oh,
you know,
okay, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, something went on.
Yeah, but, it's funny when I'm like, Dave didn't watch the video.
I've got calluses on my hands.
No,
I
do too.
Before, you know?
Man, I was like, the sticks were like, you know, that was starting to get to my hands a little
yeah.
bit. I mean, usually it doesn't, you know, usually I'm pretty mm-hmm. solid, but I was just like, ooh, I had to like play the drums like a little differently yesterday,
yeah.
the big drum.
Yeah.
It was powerful. It was like anything, at the beginning, everything's kind of like an awkward thing. It's kind of like a weird, you know.
Energy's got to find its own
yeah,
pace.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, even yeah. Putzi, you know, he had a whole routine
yeah,
ready to go. And I was like, and that kind of threw me off a little bit, because then that means that puts it on the big drum.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, well, just go slow, I guess.
Right. Whereas, I'm kind of glad he did that. He saw that it was a small enough gathering and we'd all drummed together before that he didn't need to lead it like that. But mm-hmm. I'm glad he was there to do that if needed, you know, and mm-hmm. if we all wanted him to. But
we did it Saturday, remember?
Yeah.
So actually we did it already. We had already done it.
Okay. We got that over. All right.
Hi, Garcia.
Yep. So, yeah, just a full weekend, and coming up this next weekend, well, I might as well mention it, we are going to be doing another Shaman's Walk down in Hocking Hills at Cedar Falls. We're going to be taking whoever wants to show up there for a little nature walk with a spiritual twist. Going to stop at a few places and hold ceremony and you know, touch in with spirit and what this might mean to them, and,
mm-hmm.
and just let them experience it in their own private space, too.
Yeah.
A different way.
Today was pretty good. You know, I just got up, you know, did my thing like I usually do, you know, do my meditation and focusing on. And I got this email, well, you know, Facebook, that someone wanted to, you know, talk. I need to talk to you about something. And I'm like, okay, you have time. So I'll be free between such and such time. Then they call me 11:30. It was interesting because, you know, she just had a lot of things that were going on in her life. And there's some things that happened yesterday to her. She was driving and her phone went off. It was turned off. It was turned on, but there's no service between the areas that she was at. So it was like, you know, and then the dog she's with, she has this dog that with her new partner that usually will warn her about things, like if it's something that's not right. The dog just stood there and just looked and didn't do anything.
Mm.
And so she was like, you know, so I helped her, you know, process a little bit. She helped me and process things as well, because we both work. When you work with someone else, you're actually working parts
yeah,
into yourself as well.
Right.
So it was really cool. And then, you know, 1 minute before, we got through everything that we needed to get through, but 1 minute right before noon, the call drops. Just like that. And I text her back and I go, get the meters up. She started laughing. It was pretty funny. But right before I had called her, I'm sitting in my truck and I see this guy walking across the street here, right out here. Turns around, he has a phone in his hand, looks at me just like this. It looked just like Bob Cliff, our friend Bob.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that ain't Bob, I don't know who it is.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, after I get done with this session, I'm going to call Bob.
Tell
and
him.
So I called Bob. I said, hey, Bob, what's up? What do you need? Because you called, and I saw this guy, and he looked just like you, man. And it was, I mean, he was a little skinnier, you know, but, you know, he,
yeah.
but, you know, he had that whole image of you, you know, so... And, you know, it was so beautiful. And I'm sure Bob wouldn't mind me sharing this because, you know, he's pretty open about his spirituality. Nothing bad, but he went on this journey, took me on a journey, you know, and I needed something from him or vice versa. And just to hear the magic that came out of his mouth and all the things that he's learned along the way. And sometimes when we're doing our work, we don't know if we're touching people's lives. And we know we are, but we're not sure how. And
yeah.
sometimes we need a little validation, just, you know, a little praise for someone to pat your shoulder. Hey, you're doing a good job, Biggie, or Dave, or Katie, you know, so you can keep going, you know. And he told me all the things that how we all influenced his life and the things, and now other people come into his life, and he can help influence them to the degree for themselves to help
yes.
themselves. And it was so cool because he's reciting things back to me that I had told him. And, I mean, this is like 2 or 3 years
yeah.
ago. And I'm going, wow, you remember that. You know, you take it. It's real for you. It's real for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know if people are actually listening sometimes. You don't know if, you know, I don't see him every day, so I can't tell. But his path is so beautiful to watch him working and moving and ministering, you know, his path. And I told him, I said, you know, I saw this post today. And I said, Buddha wasn't a Buddhist. Jesus wasn't a Christian. Muhammad wasn't Muslim. But they all taught hope, peace, and love.
Mm.
And I'm going, it said hope, peace, and love.
Hope,
and I said, that's,
said that.
Yeah.
That's our newest mantra.
And that's
our
that's saying. What we've been working
yeah.
on here. And I go, the whole weekend was about hope, peace, and love.
Right.
I'm going, I
know. But there's not some kind of, you know, validation from spirit in that. I don't know what that is.
And so I'm talking to Bob, sitting there. I look up, and I see these two clouds coming together like this. And I can't get my phone to click over, you know, because Bob's on the other line. And I see these clouds coming together, and there looks like a man and a woman. And they're coming together, and I'm just observing this as Bob's talking to me, and they just kiss. The clouds merge, and they just give a kiss.
Wow.
Just like, and I was just like, wow. I hope somebody else saw this, because I hate to be the only person. Well, you know.
Sometimes it's just meant for you, you know.
Well, it was just beautiful. Yeah. It was amazing. I was just totally blown away by it. Mm-hmm. Totally blown away by it.
Wow. It's powerful. You know, we are surrounded by that sort of thing all the time. If we just open our eyes, lift our heads up, and are aware of it, you know. And to have all those things come together like that, yeah. You're talking about Bob. He is such a sweet soul. I mean, it's mm-hmm. what an angel in human form he is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's just done so much. You know, from the very moment I met him, he was like a brother, you know, and we started the Ash Cave. It was his idea to go down there in the wintertime.
I mean, I heard of him, but never gave any thought.
Yeah, to do drummings down there, and that has become such a special place for us. So he has gifted us over and over again, just by, you know, his being himself.
And the cool thing that he told me yesterday, was he was at the drumming, that is how all these connections have come together. You know, just all these amazing connections of all these people that he's never met, would never met, unless it was just some kind of way, you know. And then his high school buddy who was going to go last year and didn't go, and he's sitting there with Carol, and all of a sudden, his friend taps him on the shoulder from high school. Hey, Bob. He's like, hey, what are you doing? He goes, I remember you said that they do this every year at the end, last Sunday of every, in July or whatever, so I could hear the drumming, because he lives in the neighborhood.
Oh.
So he decided to come down. And, so Bob, it was just one of those things, and then Bob's like, well, here's, play my Doombeck, you know. And so he's playing the Doombeck, you know, having a great time, and he has to go back to this party. He was at a party, had to come back. And he goes, and he told Bob, I guess, he called him later, he goes, I didn't want to leave. He goes, I didn't want to go back to the party, you know. And he says, and it was cool, because this was lady with her autistic child was there, and they were drumming, and he goes, that's something I can do with my kid now, you know, and I wasn't aware that I could do that. He had never drummed before. And so many people that we worked with have never drummed before. So it was pretty cool, pretty amazing.
It is.
I love those stories.
Yeah.
I went back today because I felt like there was some undone business, you know, something that I had to go back.
You know, I felt like going to Whetstone Park, and then it's just like I saw your pictures, and it's just like, oh my, Iggy went back to the park.
You went on our behalf.
I was thinking about going earlier today, and I didn't go on my instinct to go.
That's becoming another sacred place for us there.
Yeah.
You know, because we had that drumming for the documentary that Mary did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Whetstone Indians.
Yeah. We've had our gatherings there. So we're creating sacred spaces as well as honoring them by going to them as well. You know, people do that. Whenever you invest your energy and your intention into something, it becomes sacred.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And we've come back to places that other people have used and gone and done ceremony. I really believe that. I don't think that anything that we're doing is new. It's just we're just being called back to those spaces to do it again. You know, that's, I really truly believe that.
Wow. And it is funny how people connect, because there are so many people there that I knew before I knew you all.
Mm-hmm.
And then how, you know, how everybody comes together in one place, like in different groups that I have associated with. And it's just like, okay, it's like a big puzzle.
Yeah.
And here's all these little groupings of, like, individual little puzzles,
mm-hmm.
here. And then they all come together in one big beautiful puzzle, or one big beautiful picture.
You don't know the connection until that happens.
And it's like, one of my friends that was there, he's this young man named Joseph. He's in his 20s. And I met him not too long ago at the Reiki Center. We were doing at a Reiki share. And he knew quite a few people there. And I told him, I said, I have known some of these people for a long time this year. A lot of them are longtime friends. And he also said, some of these are my longtime friends. So it's just like, you never know. Because I had invited him to the drumming.
He's a sweet guy.
And then some other people invited him.
I met him not too long ago. He was awesome.
I say he's my 20-something crush. He reminds me of a guy I dated in college.
Right. Now, did you see the big guy with the kilt there?
Yeah, he's your buddy, right?
That's my friend Scott from work. I invited him, so it was his first time to really come to something like that too. And
can't wait to see his pictures.
Yeah, yeah. And then he joined that healing circle that we had, and so that part of my world kind of overlapped into this one. And I discovered he's really got a powerful spiritual side too. He pulled this crystal out of his pocket. It's huge.
Wow.
And he had this stick, you know. And he was like talking about balancing and everything, and I'm like, wow.
Awesome.
He is a gorgeous guy too. Big,
yeah,
and
gentle and thoughtful and quiet.
And nice tree-like legs. Sorry.
He was taller than you. He was bigger than Todd. He made Todd look small, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, Todd, you look really little compared to this guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, y'all. I'm a woman, you know?
So we had giants and dwarfs.
Yes, I was a gnome.
and Sasquatches, too.
Yes.
So everyone's...
Baker Dan, if you're out there, I'm not sure which number you may be calling from, but if you give me a text at area code 614-354-1636, again, that's 614-354-1636. So let me know which one of these numbers you are, because we do have quite a bit of numbers. I have a set of numbers here in front of me, and none of them seem to match. So at the point, we're going to take a little 30-second break, and then we're going to come back and take some of these callers and continue with the show.
Okay.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Okay. Got to be the strong one. Self-sufficient. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I told him if he ever needed my help, just yell.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
I'm David Two Crows.
I am Katie Singing Eagle.
And we are singing here.
Okay.
We're jamming.
We are.
We're having a good time, like we always do on this show, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked a little bit about what happened this weekend with our gathering of 1,000 drummers and everything. And we've also introduced we want to get our guest on tonight, Baker Dan. I just wanted to say that it's what he's going to talk about, I believe he's going to talk about diet and how important it is and how it can prevent a number of things going on. Later in my life, around in my mid-40s, I developed a sort of a weird dietary kind of allergy. I don't know. It's not really celiacs, because I've read about that, and it don't have all the symptoms to it. I suppose it might be a variation of that, but I became intolerant to wheat, corn, rice, soy, oats. I mean, anything that was based in any kind of a grain or that kind of carbohydrate, and my body wouldn't tolerate it anymore. I would get headaches. I kept eating like that because I didn't understand what was causing it. I thought, I'm just, something weird's going on, you know, because I would get night sweats, I would get lightheaded, I would get depressed. I was in a long period of depression and just weird thoughts and, you know, just not myself. And so I finally had an episode where I passed out and went into some what looked like convulsions, you know, and people got really concerned about that. So went to the doctor. Finally, it took a wild horses to drag me in there, but and she was telling me that my symptoms were something called neurocardiogenic syncope, which is where there's a difference in blood pressure signals from the heart and the brain, and it causes lightheadedness. And mm-hmm. that can be brought on by a number of things. One of them is your diet and the way you process carbohydrates. So I cut all that out. I was a big muffin, bread, you know, cake, pizza guy. So that was a change for me. But as soon as I did that, about 3 days after that, I was a different person. I mean, the depression went away. I didn't have any more problems with the symptoms I was suffering. So it can happen to anybody, you know, if you think, you know, you're okay, just it can happen to you at any time. So diet is a very important thing to watch. I guess that's what I'm saying.
So do you eat any meat or anything?
I eat meat. Okay. You know, from time to time I'll go vegetarian for a while just because I feel like I need to cleanse a little bit. But
well, animals are vegetarian usually. Yeah. Right? So I guess I'm a vegetarian too, right?
Flexitarian.
Well, you know, with my diet being so limited, I almost have to have some other sources of
sure.
anything. So I just go with what my body tells me, but I'm also very in tune with, you know, listening to that. Because for many years, like most of us, I thought I was telling my body what to do, you know. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But no, the body wins in the end.
That's right.
It really does.
Well, it's a good indicator. It'll tell you when something's not right.
Sure.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Drink too many. Brazil tell you too, right?
Yeah. I think maybe one of the things a lot of us fall down on is just drinking enough water.
Mm. You know, that's huge.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, the average person in America or around the world, you know, does not drink enough water. And I feel so bad for all those folks that don't have any real true water sources.
Yeah,
I wonder how they make it today. You know, their bodies just learn how to adjust,
adapt. Well, one thing too, if you don't drink enough water, you start to get what feels like hunger. So you maybe eat more and try to get that moisture out of that food instead
mm-hmm.
of drinking water.
Well, maybe that's my problem. No. You drink more water, Iggy.
Yeah.
I just got you.
One thing people do drink too much of is soda pop.
Amen.
However you say it, some people say soda, some people say pop. I say soda pop.
Yeah. From the Midwest.
You know, and I go through these streaks, you know, like I'll drink, not a lot, but I'll drink like maybe one or two too many, you know, in a week, you know. Just, I don't know, but usually I'm not like that. Like, I've been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, my diet's changed a lot since, you know, I've been working not in the restaurant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it was good or bad either way, but it's just changed.
Right.
Like, I'm not as hungry as I used to. Even when I worked in the restaurant, you know, when you cook in restaurants, you're not hungry.
Yeah, because you're eating food all the time.
Yeah, and I remember when I was working at Jack and Benny's, man, I just did not want to eat breakfast food anymore. I was skinny, man. I was like trimmed. That was when I was really like in shape. I would exercise.
Yeah.
I just didn't want an egg. I just didn't want any pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just made my Peruvian food, and that was it. You know, you get so tired, you know, certain after a while you see everybody eating, you know,
yeah.
just like, and you're making it constantly. You ready to take a caller?
Oh, sure.
All right. Because Katie's slapping away.
No, I can just imagine.
Right.
I've been there.
All right. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. This is Iggy.
Hello?
Yes. Who's with us today?
Hi. My name is Ayokami.
Ayokami.
Yes.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. What kind of readings are you guys giving out? Like, can you give a general or whatever you pick up on?
Sure,
absolutely, yeah.
Love to. I've left my cards, the usual cards I use, but I'm picking these up, these Native Wisdom cards that Iggy has laying around here, too. So I'll be using those. But
yeah, let me ask you a question. Ayokami, are your speakers on?
I had it on, but now I took it off.
Oh, okay, I don't know. We're echoing back for some reason, but...
Yeah, it probably was still like a delay before it actually caught up with
okay.
the phone itself.
I thought you were just making fun of me, repeating what I was saying.
No, not me. Not me.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing. It happens sometimes. It's just kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
On our end.
Yeah.
We're weird enough as it is.
Yeah, we don't need any help, man.
So you want just kind of a general reading on what's going on in your life now, like maybe a couple months out or something?
Okay, well, I had one of those afternoon nap, and I had a dream, and I just kind of woke up with like a funky feeling. And I guess can you kind of zone in on that feeling or whatever was coming in you know, that energy.
All right, I'm going to pick a card for you. You tell me when to stop, okay?
Okay. Stop.
Okay, let's see what we got here. Get the ball rolling here. Cocapelli! And she says party. She's got party on her card. What do
no,
you get?
No, it doesn't say party.
It says pray. I'm sorry. Cocapelli says it's that party.
I was about to say what?
The Matriarch of Shields.
You got Matriarch of Shields. Okay, well, Cocapelli is a fertility god. It's a Native American, you know, symbol of just being able to let go and release. It's the flute player. It's the person who brings magic to the situation that you're in. And so that's what I'm picking up at the moment. As these guys read their cards, I will probably pick up some more. I get a little distracted when I hear my own voice in the background, so I do apologize for that. So
no problem.
Well, the card I pulled for you says pray. So we all kind of know what prayer means. I don't know if you have a prayer life or if you're used to praying, but it says pray. No matter what your heart's desire is, prayer is the means through which it will be delivered. Prayer is perhaps the best all-around psychic tool to raise your vibration and attract solutions and relieve you of all psychic dissonance. I hear my voice in the background, too. It is daily food for the soul. As you pray, ask your spirit to ascend to the highest elevation and energetic frequency possible and to align with your higher self, your guides and your spiritual teachers, so that your soul may learn and grow quickly and peacefully. Sincere prayers are always heard, always elevate vibration, and are always answered. The key is to hold your prayers in your heart and then release them to the higher force. Prayer always works and it always changes things.
All right. Well, that's what I did after the dream, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting. When I pulled the Matriarch of Shields, this is my first time working with these cards, so I'm just going to read exactly what it says here, too, and see if that resonates with you. The Matriarch of Shields is an Inuit woman. Now I'm going to pause there because I come from Alaska and I know Inuit is also what is commonly called Eskimo. So that right there kind of touches in with me. And so there are only about 20,000 full-blooded Inuits left and they live a hard life in the barren Arctic. To the Inuit, to survive means to be flexible. Only a fool would make long-range plans in the uncertain existence of the harsh north. Historically, Inuits have lived in harmony with the seasons, and their spirit world swarmed with supernatural beings. The spirits were not all evil, but had to be placated with myriad taboos, amulets, and magic words, usually through a shaman who was empowered to deal with the unknown. Women of the Inuit had a chance to become shamans as they grew older. This involved living constantly with certain food taboos and becoming a trance medium with a familiar spirit, usually that of an animal. The Matriarch of Shields is a shaman in contact with the spirit of a reindeer or caribou. She is in ceremonial dress, kneeling in a spirit dance, waving shield-like fans before her swaying body. Her headdress is bejeweled and her eyes twinkle. The landscape is stark and frozen. She is intoxicated, whether through spirit or drugs is not important. The essence of the Matriarch of Shields is ambition, usually towards positive ends. She is immensely affectionate and kind and possesses greatness of heart. She is not intellectual, but rather extremely intuitive and instinctual. She tends to be quiet, hardworking, practical, sensible, domestic, and yet is often lustful and debauched. Where'd that come from? Okay. She has a weakness for alcohol and drugs and is inclined to abuse them in an attempt at self-oblivion, as if that would be her only chance for happiness. So I guess that's the negative aspect of what this card represents, but there's also a lot of powerful positive magic in it, too, a lot of powerful positive energy. To work with spirit, to work in realms beyond the physical. So,
okay.
When you speak of dreams, you know that's another way spirit speaks to us. So,
right.
Pay attention to your dreams. Don't be overwhelmed by them. Don't be frightened by them. You've got the power to get the message from them without being caught up in it. So we have scary dreams, you know, we have nightmares at times, but they are sometimes warnings, sometimes they're just our mind talking to us and telling us a story we need to hear. So that's what I'm getting from this card. So I leave that for now with you, sister, as kind of a blessing and a message there.
Yeah, and I also picked up traveling. I felt like there's some travel that's coming her way. As you were reading that card.
Yeah, that's what the dream was about. They were coming. They forced me out the house. They threw me, and I didn't want to go. And he tricked me into the van full of people, and the people was half scared of me. And he locked the door behind me, and we went down the highway. So I was kind of wondering what was going on with that. Well, at least that was part of the dream.
Sure. When I got a pick of Cocapelle, I just looked it up a little bit because I was a little distracted in my own voice. But Cocapelle is also the traveler. He, you know, carries his backpack on his back, and he plays his flute. He's a wanderer, so he's all over the place. There could be aspects of yourself that you're you consider being wandering that you haven't quite settled down, haven't quite focused on. That representation of you jumping in the van is maybe going, hey, you know, it's time to just do it. You know, and the dreams, when we have dreams, those are things are internal, like you were saying, David, earlier, the things that we don't really see in our normal day, so we have to see it in a different way, in a metaphoric way. And sometimes we have to reach out and ask for help, and sometimes we have to be careful who we ask for that help. And, Katie's asking for, you know, she talked about prayer, so prayer is very important that you ask higher self, God, source, say, hey, you know what, I don't just take anybody's advice here. I want to make sure that it's coming from a true source.
Right.
And so, like I tell most people is, you know, when you ask for guidance, you know, higher self will never say, hey, that shirt looks nice tonight. You should put that one on. No, it's pretty precise. It's pretty legit, and it's really on topic. So.
Right.
You are going to have some type of travel. You're going to be doing some kind of something that's abroad a little bit, not necessarily out of the country, but you're going to be moving through some things here. Look at it as a good thing.
Now the reindeer, the caribou for the Matriarch of Shields is also a traveler. The caribou migrate all the time, and they're constantly together.
You know
so,
what?
Yeah.
I was kind of, because I wanted to go down and see like a shaman. And I think that's what she represents. Because I was kind of planning on going on seeing somebody who's real spiritual. Like so I was hoping at least when I go on, because I was planning on a trip to kind of meet somebody real spiritual that would kind of, kind of help me through this journey. So I think that's what she represents, that, you know, what I hope. And I am praying for that trip to happen. So, yes.
I hear
it makes
vacation.
I hope so. I don't want it to be something that feels like work. I want to enjoy my time and enjoy the spirits that comes with it, you know. So,
we're one little piece of the puzzle. Like Katie said earlier, there's little pieces and puzzles and, you know, little jigsaws that you have to put together. And so.
Yeah, well, yeah. But it makes sense once I put everything together. It makes sense.
Awesome.
I think that she's waiting for you, too, so
yes.
You think so? Oh, she's waiting for me. Well, that's a positive note, then. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. You guys have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Call us back when you get back. Let us know how it went.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Thank you.
It's just amazing. You know, dreams are very powerful.
Yes,
you know, a lot of people think, like you said, they are warnings. There are things that, you know, trigger us. But, you know, dreams are actually about us.
Right.
Deep down in our subconscious mind, things that, you know, because there is no out there. We've all learned that.
Right.
You know, there is a universe and there is things that are out there. But what I'm talking about when it comes to the emotional issues about who we are as human beings, what affects us and what we allow affects us is inside of us.
Yes.
Deep down. So when those things, you know, oh, this happened to me. Sure did in your dreams, yeah. Because your dreams, who's to say they're not real?
Right.
Who's to say that the other world is more real than this one?
Right. You know, when I went on that little techno fast that I did when I was not connected to, you know, a lot of the technology and I was got kind of back to myself, the first night I had a dream, and the dream was I was a servant in my own brother's house because I owed money.
Oh, wow.
And they took me in, but I had to be a servant there. You know, and it was okay. I was okay with it, you know,
sure.
myself. But when my brother and his wife said, your children have to serve our children now. Your children have to clean our kids' room. I said, no, I'm done with that. I'm out of here. But I also knew at the same time I was that I had lost all that support and all that help.
Wow.
So that was a powerful dream for me, you know.
Sure. Let's move on to the next caller, guys.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, welcome. What's your name, caller?
My name is Samantha.
Samantha, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. What can we do for you tonight, or what would you like?
I have something to ask. I don't know if you want a specific question or a general what you're feeling. I don't know which one you prefer.
I'm feeling a lot of uncertainty in your voice today, and I'll be honest with you. I feel like there's something that you're needing a little bit of clarification on. So ask us what you're feeling, and maybe we can guide you and help you to unlock those mysteries inside your mind.
I believe in spirit, and I don't know if I'm intuitive or I get a lot of feelings about things, but I've been going through a lot, like emotionally and spiritually, and I really would like to know if you feel a sense of things like changing for the better, because it's been really, really hard. And just
yeah.
to get even harder. And I believe, I pray, I ask for guidance and strength. It's getting to be a little too much for me emotionally.
Well, sister, I can tell you right now that others are with you too in that it's been a very hard time for some people. I went through my hard time a little earlier. And, you know, we all go through shifts and changes and things come along. Sometimes they just knock our whole world down. But we build out of that. You know, I think what we build is better than what we might have thought we could have had if that had stayed the same. So all that being said, I just want you to know that, first of all, you're not alone. There's a lot of people out there who
mm-hmm.
are experiencing shifts and changes and endings of relationships and even uncertainties within what they thought they could rely on for the rest of their life, be it a belief or a relationship, or, you know, just their families, or a loved one that transitions. So those things are coming around even faster now. It's a time for us of release and
mm-hmm.
transformation. So first of all, that's
you know, that's a good point. That's very true what you're connecting with, because I picked the card Dance of Unity. I do feel a lot of pain. I do feel like there's a lot of frustration because my arms and the hairs on my arms are standing up. So there are some things that you are experiencing that aren't very nice, that aren't going through. But there are some good sides to this. You already know what the pain feels like. You know what going through it since you're living it. You know, I picked this card
yeah.
called Dance of Unity. The Dance of Unity is about finding unification in dance and rhythm in with other people. You know, not feeling like by yourself in this. I see water. And I see, you know, a lot of sand around you. And I see a unification of a circle. It means there's going to be people that you're going to invite into your circle of influence, and you're going to meet these new people. But here's the thing. You're going to have to process through all this pain first. You're going to have to go through it. And I know you're praying, and I know you're trying to do the right thing, and you're asking for things that you want, but there's a little doubt, a little hesitation in the back of your voice, something that's holding you back. And why that's holding you back, I'm not quite sure. But what I do hear is you need to start looking for other people who are like-minded, who are spiritual in your community, people, and get attached to them a little bit, get involved with them, find them, do a search online, and just say, hey, okay, who's doing this work? Who's going to spirit gatherings? Who's going to drum circles? Who's doing what? Because what I find is you're going to find somebody who's going to mentor you, and you're going to mentor them as well. So it's not going to be like it's open-ended. So it's both ways, goes both ways. The energy will flow both ways. And by doing that, you'll both help self-discover things about each other that are very similar, but very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a part of the pain that you feel, well, a lot of it is grief, because last year around this time in August, my boyfriend, he was murdered. So, I mean, I really didn't, I guess, say too much or speak on it too much, because
mm-hmm.
everyone now is like, oh, you should be dating, you should be, you know, it should be getting better. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, I have one friend that I lost that I wasn't really in contact with. Now we're kind of talking, but she went through a similar situation with me, and but I really don't even feel like opening up to her. It just feels as if every time I open my mouth to say it,
yeah,
I hold it back because it hurts too much.
This is what I'm looking, before Katie continues, I want to finish this reading on my card, because I'm looking at the card, and the card is holding a hoop, okay, with feathers on it, but both parties are pulling away. So you're going one direction, this person's going another direction. I personally feel that you need to grieve as much as you need to grieve. You know, the three of us have worked in grief counseling with in camps and stuff with children, and some of the biggest things is not letting people do what they need to do. Right. And adults grieve much different than children to begin with, right, David,
right,
when we learned.
We grieve in episodic stages, and adults want to get the grief over all at once. You know, just get it over and get it out of your system. You should be doing this, and that's wrong.
And
with what,
yeah,
your natural rhythm and your...
And, you know, we all have inner children inside of us that,
yes,
are grieving. You're grieving as a child. Parts of you are grieving as a child, so you need to express that. You need to share that, you know. There may not be anybody to listen sometimes, and that can happen. But the ones who do listen, you know, share. You know, share to the spirit, the great spirit that you've connected with. And Katie's got a reading for you, too, on this card as well.
The card I picked says, cloak yourself in light. And what goes along with it, it says, sadly, the world is filled with much dark, negative, free-floating energy in the atmosphere. Thankfully, most of this is impersonal, but nevertheless can be harmful to your spirit if you let it. You're presently exposed to such generic negative energies, possibly due to overwork, traveling too much, or simply being around too many people with inadequate time to regenerate. No matter the source of negativity, it's important to rise above it. Use your imagination and cloak yourself in protective vibrations of white light and self-love every time you leave the house. Do this as a matter of course, just as you put on shoes to protect your feet before stepping outside. Cloaking yourself in light deflects negative influences and prevents them from attaching to you and disturbing your peace. Don't be naive by denying this kind of energy you might be exposed to. Negativity happens. It's part of the human nature in the five sensory world and reflection of fear. And there's no point in being offended or afraid when you encounter it. Be proactive instead. Travel in your cloak of light wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I tell people all the time, is make sure you cover yourself, you protect yourself daily in light and something called metaphysical shielding, or even if you know the scriptures, there's something called putting on the full armor, putting on your armor daily to protect yourself, because there are negative influence. And then by your grieving, just like you said, let yourself grieve. Watch out the people you associate with who won't let you be your authentic self. And sometimes people mean well with their sympathy and empathy, but they don't say the right words, mm-hmm. and that can come to you as a negative point or like a dagger stabbing you in the heart, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost people in my life in about 10 people in the last 14, 15 months. So I know what it is to grieve, and I know what you're going through. And also, I would suggest that if you know any Reiki practitioners in your area, to seek those out, because I feel that some of your chakras are closed, and that some of them need, especially your root chakra, needs to be grounded. If you can have an amethyst or even rose quartz crystals, get those and carry them with you in your pocket, because those will help you commune with higher self and to stay grounded also. So find a Reiki practitioner so they can help you open up and work on the grieving process also and open up those chakras, because even your voice, I feel your throat chakra is kind of closed, and you need to be able to go somewhere and just yell if you need to at the top of your lungs to open that up. And your heart has been wounded also, so that heart chakra needs to a little healing done to it also. I don't know if you know about the chakra system, but it's part of our being, and it's part of our light and dark self. So, and a Reiki practitioner will help you work on that system within yourself, and even help you raise your levels to where you can commune better with your higher, with the higher beings and with your higher self.
I have a question for you. Do you know anyone named Juan or John or something like that?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm picking up energetically Juan, something like Juan or something. I'm not sure if that's, maybe it'll go through a bit. You have
she might be.
Well, maybe. But I can feel this energy from like a Juan, right? Someone. Maybe it might
maybe
be somebody
it's someone
she
coming in.
Someone coming in that you may be working with. Could be, you know, here's a guess. I'm just going to guess because sometimes it's good to guess. Juan, there's a book in the bookstore about Juan. Look in the metaphysical section of your store, like a Half Price Books. I don't know why you're supposed to go to Half Price Books and go to the metaphysical section and just peruse through there. And that's what spirits tell me to tell you. So maybe you're going to meet a Juan at the store. I don't know. Or there's a book about Don Juan Castaneda or something, you know. Who knows, you know. We'll find out.
Yeah, it'll tie in there somehow, I'm sure. The card I pulled for you is Strength. I'll read what it says about strength, and then we can talk about how that might apply.
Mm-hmm.
The cougar, the lion of the North American continent, is a strong and beautiful cat weighing between 150 and 300 pounds and measuring between 7 and 9 feet in length. Before the coming of the white man, this great cat ranged the whole continent, as did the Native Americans. However, cougars have been hunted down and killed until there were perhaps 300 left hiding in the mountains and the Everglades. What was done to the cougar was also tried on the Native American and, in a way, was successful. A strong and beautiful people was changed into a weak imitation of itself. The cougar on the card Strength is pictured with the Shawnee medicine woman, a shapeshifter, whose eyes are the same color as the cat's, for they are in essence one. A tree-studded plateau, a waterfall, and a rushing stream, the constellation Lynx, and the variegated dawn sky convey strength, beauty, and the communion with nature that was once universal. This card represents not only strength, but also the joy of exercising that strength. It represents marriage as it occurs in nature, without artificial attempts to direct its fulfillment. This type of energy inherent is primitive and creative, completely independent of reason or criticism. So there's a strength in you as well. I think this is what this card is telling me, that that you can tap into, that is there for you, that is beyond your, you know, understanding about it, or, you know, your consciousness of it. That's the primitive, primal strength in you. Comes from your ancestors, and it's been transmitted to you, and it's waiting for you to tap into. You may have tapped into it in your life before. You've gone through some difficult things that you've had to have strength for, and that strength is still there for you. As the text to this card was saying, you know, that some things can get almost wiped out, you know, but they're strong. There's the strength that brings them back. You know, the Native Americans aren't gone. The cougar isn't gone, you know, and we feel sometimes like we want to disappear, or, you know, we're being forced into extinction and oblivion, but that strength comes through, and it's our strength of character, it's our strength of will, and it's the strength of our lineage and our heritage and our ancestors coming through for us too. So stand upon that strength as you go through this process and realize that you're fine as you are, and you don't need to change or be, you know, any one particular way other than what your internal guide tells you to be.
Well, she's going to become very strong after all this.
Yes.
You know, that she's going through.
Right.
She's going to be so powerful that she won't even remember herself. You know, she's going to be a different light. I see a lot of beauty coming your way. You know, right now it's a little tough, but but what doesn't break you, you know, makes you stronger,
in the end,
right?
We thank those things that come along and test us and try us.
Yeah.
Even though they put us through hell sometimes, you know, but we come out victors and champions and tempered in that fire. So I just want to leave that with you too, sister.
Yeah. So you got a lot of information and lots of process, but don't forget to go to Half Price Books. Okay, I'm not sure what to say, but
actually wrote it down to remember. Anything that can help me in this time, I appreciate the information. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Bless you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a
good
day.
Keep us posted. You too.
Wow.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's always, you know, when we lose somebody very close to us, it does transform us a lot. Mm-hmm. It does take a toll on the aspects of us that we thought who we thought we were.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and then it really puts us on challenges to, you know, see where we're going to go from there.
Right.
Hopefully Samantha can, you know, take that and use that as something, you know, that was very tragic to her, you know, and use that as strength and to find the balance and the beauty through the readings we gave her. So spirit works in mysterious ways. We don't know why things happen to us sometimes, but we just know that we're on this path and we're on this journey, and it's our journey to take, and it's our path to walk. And as hard as it may be, you know, your path is your path, and you have to walk it.
Exactly. Right.
It reminds me of that old saying. You probably remember this. The guy walks into a room, and you know, he goes to Jesus, to God, and goes, "This cross is so heavy, you know." God opens up the door and says, "Well, go ahead and pick any cross you want here. There's all kinds of size crosses, huge ones, little ones, tiny ones." And so the guy goes and he grabs this teeny little cross, and he goes and grabs it, and he starts pulling. He goes, "Oh, that feels really good, you know." And he starts dragging it along, and he goes, "Thank you, God, I appreciate that." And he goes, "Well, you just picked your own cross again. That's the same cross you were carrying before."
Oh, yeah, okay.
So basically, you know.
Right.
So I always think about that, you know.
Your approach, your attitude.
Yeah. It's your perceptions on things, how you look at things. We do have our issues. We do have problems that, you know, weigh us down. But there's somebody else out there who's got one more on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's one for us that may look like they don't have anything bothering them. But
right. We're
all in together.
We all carry our crosses in different ways. Some
yes. Carry
them on the outside, some carry them
yes,
on the inside.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why that story for me always stays in my mind. I'm always thinking, you know, someone else has got worse than I do, so I should be very grateful and in gratitude for the things that I do,
right.
Able to get.
I know people who've suffered terrible losses also sometimes go on to form wonderful coping organizations.
Oh, yeah.
People, you know?
Absolutely.
And so there's a gift given as well as something when something's taken away. You know, it's always an exchange.
Ready to move on to the next one, guys?
Sure.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're well, how are you? What's your name, caller?
I'm doing okay. My name is Tracy.
Okay, Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I was wondering if you guys could help me out and tell me what my financial situation will look like in the next few months.
You don't get a lot of financial situations.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy overall, so.
Okay.
That's good. I mean,
can't keep you happy.
We are happy too. you can never have enough though, right?
I love you guys. You actually take a lot of time with everyone, and I appreciate that. That's great.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, you know what? I got a pretty good car for her.
Okay.
I got the medicine wheel card.
Oh.
Pull the medicine wheel card. What'd you pull? Listen to your heart.
And I'm pulling. Oh, I'm pulling the sun.
The sun.
Okay.
Well, okay, Tracy. I pulled the medicine wheel card. The medicine wheel card is probably one of the most symbolic, one of the most used part of our ceremonies that we do and the work we're involved in. We will have our own little medicine wheels, and you have your own medicine wheel. You're just probably not aware of it at this time. And there are probably aspects of your little wheel that we just need to hone and put back into place. The medicine wheel is round. The medicine wheel is very symbolic of Mother Earth. The medicine wheel is very symbolic of the things that are around us, our cars, the gears and, you know, and clocks, you know, the balls that are kicked by kids. So round and round we go, round and round we go. As where we stop, nobody knows. You know, David puts the sun card. So the thing is here, you're doing the right things. But there's a part of you that doesn't believe that you're doing the right things. And there's a part of you that's going, "I'm happy, and I'm doing great." There's another part of you going, "Well, I'm happy, but I'm not happy to some degree." We all do that. Every single person in this room does that. There's things that we have to hone on and work on. Financially, what holds us back financially? Well, a lot of things does. Number one is how we're raised. When we go to school, no one really teaches you about finances and how to take care of yourself or do it. You're lucky if you have a parent that knows how to do that. And so here we are, we're thrown into the world, and then we have to make all these mistakes, and we're in debt, and then we have all these issues we have to deal with. Is your financial situation going to change? It possibly can. You're going to have to shift a lot of thinking in a lot of different ways and a lot of different avenues, how you thought about money and what money represents to you. Because for a lot of people, money represents things and represents cleansing and clearing and buying and paying bills. Well, money is energy, kind of like you and me. Money is something that has its own value outside of the cotton and linen that it is.
So, you know, being that you're saying these things, I just, maybe you can help me in it. I am very, very good at manifesting, and 99% of the time I'm able to manifest anything that I like and I dream about.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason I'm having a really hard time lately getting over that little fear of lack that's in the back of my head. And I can't get rid of it, and it keeps coming back. And when you have that feeling of lack, it's very hard to manifest anything of abundance. So maybe you can help me get rid of that, coach me through how to get rid of that lack
sure.
that's coming out.
Well, I'll do my best. How's that? I'll do my
that's
best
awesome.
To pull things that are, then I'll let my friends here help you as well. I got a good message today from a good friend of mine, okay? And he gave me the message because I called him. And I said, hey, you know what? I need to know something. For some reason, I'm supposed to call you. And I'm listening to the conversation, and he goes to me, he goes, you know what, you taught me something. And it's taught me a lot in my business. It's taught me a lot with what I'm doing. He goes, you taught me that I should be grateful for the things that I already have.
Mm-hmm.
Be grateful for the people in my life, the cars that I have, and all the things that, you know, that are right in front of me that we don't see because we're so consumed with the things that we don't have, the lack of. So being having the lack of projects to the manifestation stage. It starts to draw. We start drawing more lack of versus, you know, gratitude and thanks. So here I am listening to this gentleman who's a good friend of ours, you know, all three of us here, and he tells me this, and I'm going, wow, he remembered that, you know, and I said, I know that, but why don't I have to implement things that I teach as well.
Yeah.
And so gratitude puts you in a place of, you know, receiving. When you're grateful and you're, you know, this is a good coaching tool for your kids as well. To be grateful for the one scoop of ice cream versus having two scoops of ice cream, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess what I'm going at is to be grateful for the things that you already presently have, and the things that when you start to look and you start unfolding things in your house, you're going to be surprised what you really have. And you might even have double and a little bit excess of more that you could probably maybe sell off, get rid of, and, you know, just some things, have a garage sale or something. But being grateful for the people around you, being grateful for, you know, your computer, your phone, your cell phone that you have, the things that you can, that you've manifested, like you said, you're a good manifester. I believe that. You manifest both ways, though, like we
yep.
all do. You manifest
yep.
both ways. And so
I'm gonna
ask my friends to jump in here because I don't want to hog up, you know, your reading.
Thank
here.
You.
Sure.
I pulled a card called Listen to Your Heart, which is basically saying listen to your inward spirit. Listen to your instinct, your gut, what is your higher self, or even the spirit of the Lord or the universe is saying to you. And just like what Iggy said, dwell on those things of gratitude that you already have. Dwell on your blessings that you have now, things that you're blessed with every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even the stuff that you have, just like go through it. Put yourself in a place of receiving by giving away. Get rid of whatever you have and or some of the things that you have too much of, and that places yourself in a place of receiving to where you will never lack for anything.
I have quite a bit to be grateful for, so that shouldn't be hard for me.
Okay.
Awesome.
So then that's wonderful, because just like a friend of mine told me the other day, it seems like you always get what you want eventually. And me, I am a person who doesn't have a lot of cash, but I'm provided for because I'm always giving things away. And I'm always thanking, you know, having an attitude of gratitude
mm-hmm.
to where I'm always thankful for what I have. So it's just like, I'm always giving, I'm always receiving, so I'm never in lack. And throw away fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is there's a saying, fear is like the opposite of faith. Fear is something that you don't want to have in your life at all. So just get rid of it. There's a saying that goes along that with that, but I can't remember it because it's like an acronym. But it's not coming to the forefront of my mind right now.
I always say, in the absence of fear, there is love. And that's what I use when I tend to feel like I'm getting fear creeping in more than it should be.
Yes. So put your attitude towards faith. Put your attitude towards not lacking. And say you walk in abundance. Just remind yourself that you walk in abundance. And do listen to your heart. Put good things in your heart out of the abundance of the heart.
I try to work on having no fear, but I still am afraid of centipedes. I don't know. Sorry, I got to work on that.
Takes a break in your head.
Sure, you know.
You have to love the centipede.
I have to learn to love them. I'm going to take them.
Got a lot of legs, man.
Hug them.
Got a lot of shoes to wear.
But I drew for you the sun, and so I'll just read real quickly what it says about the sun, and then I'll kind of give my interpretation of what that means and how we can kind of tie it into your situation. This describes the card. It says, a child in Mexican peasant garb points at the sun in an attempt to distract another child encumbered and dressed in full ceremonial garb. The interaction of the children suggests the possibility of enlightenment and happiness. The love and friendship and their inherent satisfaction brighten the scene. The sun is an Aztec calendar, the original of which was very colorful. The rendering here tries to capture both that flavor and the power of the heavenly body represented. The 20-tone sun this calendar was copied from was found in the main square. Is found in the main square of Mexico City in 1790. It was called La Piedra del Sol, and it was dedicated to the sun god. Tonatiuh, I'm going to try to pronounce that, pictured at the center. The first circle around the full center motif contains 20-day signs of the Aztec. Beyond that are the stars, the heavens, and two serpents that represent day and night. The young people depicted are truly representative of the children of the sun, the Aztec, the Maya, the Yaqui, remnants of civilizations utterly vanquished. The background is as barren as an unfallow field. Time and hope are inferred, as well as satisfaction, success, and contentment found in helping one another, and the rewards of new friendship. The sun means happiness, high spirits, and acceptance of life. So that's the card's representation and interpretation. And we know that in other ways, the sun is the bringer of life. It's the bringer of light, and it makes things grow. So I think that's a powerful influence that's going on in your life and within you. You say that you have the power to manifest, and that's part of that is the sun. The sun, however, can't do it all on its own. It needs water, and it needs a seed, and it needs faith, and it needs time. So all those factors come into play too, but the powerful energy is there. The pureness of that provision is there. So it's about hope. It's about happiness. It's about high spirits and acceptance of life. So again, it kind of ties in with what we're saying, is to accept and be happy for what you already have, and then that just that whole energy will come forth and bring even more into that space that you create for it. So that's the way I'm interpreting this card, and mm-hmm. I think that adds more to what you said.
It prepares us to receive, Katie said earlier. It prepares us to, you know, not hoard and not keep. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Tracy, one question. What would you change right now that you're not doing about your financial situation? You can guess. It doesn't have to be...
You know, I'd like to put my family in a place that's more affordable, and start over in a way differently than I did this time around.
Are you working right now?
Yes, I am very, very hard. I am working. I'm making a very fair salary for what I do, but I'm worth more. And mm-hmm. And I don't want to have to tell my kids no, and, you know, I just mm-hmm. want them to have a great life. And I'm a Leo, just my birthday just mm-hmm. passed. I have the planetary...
Happy birthday.
The planets, thank you. The planets aligned in my favor. I know that right now. But, you know, I just don't want anyone to have to want for anything. I want to be able to provide everything to the people I love and be comfortable and happy.
Is this something that was given to you as a child?
What do you mean?
Did you receive this kind of love and this acceptance that you're showing for your children that you want to give to them? Did your parents do it for you?
Yes, my parents were able to, take care of us, and we didn't really want for anything, but they still taught us how to be humble and how to give. So we were brought up really well, and I'd like to do the same for my kids. And, you know, I want to be able to come home from work and kick my shoes off and spend time with my family and not have to run out to another job. You know what I mean? I just...
Sure, absolutely.
I'm in New York, and it's not easy up here in the suburbs
right.
of Long Island.
Right.
I lived in Brooklyn for 7 years, so I know.
Yeah, you know the cost of living up here is ridiculous. Yeah.
My son's going to New York to study at Cap 21. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
Yeah, it's a school up there. It's a music theater school. I'm not sure where it's at, but he might need it. If you have a room, we can rent. Maybe that'll help you out, you know.
I'm on Long Island, so it's probably not close to me, but I'd be more than happy if I had a room.
But, you know, these are the kind of things I'm just, you know, my mind goes there. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy you called in, and I'm not sure if we gave it the right answer or any answer that you were looking for, but I think it's just a reminder, too, of where you're at. I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know why the universe is telling me to throw it out there. There are people who are in your group who are in multi-level marketing. I'm not sure why, and they do kind of this kind of work. I don't know if you do this type of work.
Surrounded by people that do, and they're always pushing it at me.
Yeah, but there's one in this group that's particularly something that's of value that I'm picking up that, you know, maybe you might be interested in. Not necessarily doing as, maybe you could do it as a little part-time thing to help you out. Do your research on it. You know, check it out. Ask people who are in it, you know, how they think. Try not to ask people who are not in it because they'll always give you their opinion because they're not in it. So I warn you on that end. But, yeah, look at different alternative ways of raising income. And I know New York's kind of one of those weird situations that, you know, it's really busy, hustle and bustle all the time. But if you look around, you see people on the streets. They're selling wares and they're doing their thing.
Everybody has a hustle.
Yeah, you got to find your hustle is what Katie's saying. And I think you got it. I think you can do it. Just got to kind of find your niche. Kind of sit down and write things that you like to do and kind of reevaluate, you know, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm working every day. I'm working 2-3 jobs, you know, try to sustain my family. But, you know, write down and sit there and go, okay, what do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to go from here? What's that look like? What's it taste like? What's it smell like? Do I want to own my own business? Do I not want to own my own versus and against, you know, the pros and cons of that? You know, what's that look like? You know, because, you know, I don't know what else to tell you at this point, but, you know, I think this is something you just have to sit down and ask yourself some tough questions, you know?
Yeah, you guys really just reaffirmed everything I kind of knew but was too afraid to reevaluate again. And this has been the most beneficial phone conversation I've had in the past few months. So I thank you so much, really.
So welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
If I can add one more thing. Now, when I lived in New York, this is something I did to make a little extra money.
You sure you want to talk about that?
I had a girlfriend that who could get tickets to shows and different things very inexpensively, but that wasn't what I did for extra money. I had a meetup group of something that I liked to do, which was like a singles group of a certain. We did dinner parties and dinner clubs, and we'd go to different hole-in-the-wall restaurants and stuff like that, and And sometimes I would have just a minimal fee for the person that did the reservations and made the arrangements and all that, and I would have them send it into my PayPal account. So I would make the reservations and set up stuff for them. But that was something I liked to do because I'm a foodie. I love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have these little singles groups getting people together to go out and have fun together because there's a lot of single people in New York City, and me and a girlfriend, we would do well at that. So find a niche or something that might be a little idea, something you love to do, something that's fun for you, and turn it into a small business.
Absolutely. I had a small business I shelved about a year ago, and it's been kind of nagging at me. So, yes, I have a lot of things to work on. All good.
Good.
Very good. Thank you, Tracy. You have a great evening.
Thank you so much. Have a great night, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
It's funny you brought that up about the niche business. I have a buddy who has a beer, he does beer tours, you know, as you were saying that. You know, he just goes, gets like 60 people to sign up, and they go on this beer tour in the city of Columbus, okay? I'm not saying Columbus is lame or anything, but he goes...
If you can do it in Columbus, you can do it in New York,
yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he takes all his buddies that have pizza, and they pay like $60 pop, and they try five different beers, and they'll sit there, and they have a, I saw they have a bus, like a mini bus, and it says Columbus Beer Tours on it. So now he just picks people up and drops them out versus, you know, all meeting someplace.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, nobody can have to drive drunk or anything.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
See, and wow. I kind of, that we did that. And it's just like we would make a little bit of extra money. I mean, it wasn't much because we just have this minimal $10 to $30 something we charge. It matter what.
But it's fun, too.
But it was fun.
Yeah,
and we met all kinds of people.
Right.
And it was a singles group and got people together that were afraid to meet themselves. Did a couple of, you know, bay tours on party boats, got a party boat together.
What the heck are you doing here?
I know. I love New York City. I loved it.
Well, here's our last caller. Okay, you ready? We'll talk about butt here in a minute. Let's take our last caller here.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Good,
Great. Thank you.
What's your name, caller?
Rosemaria.
Rosemaria.
Right.
What's going on?
Whatever you can pick up energy-wise for a new job or whatever you can pick up around me, because I just shifted again.
Okay, sure.
I feel laughter, like goofiness. I feel like there's some good energy flowing through you. I mean, I do. I feel like there's ornery side, but the good ornery, not that.
The right place is for goofiness,
that's
right. Right, yeah, because I just found out something, what happened this morning in a different country.
Okay, very good. I can pick up on those things pretty good. I just don't know what they are sometimes. But well, what'd you get?
Well, I was going to have her pick a number between 1 and 52, let's say.
Okay.
Number from what to what?
One between 1 and 52.
Twenty-two,
okay. Go ahead, and I'll catch up with you.
You want me to go ahead?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I actually pulled a card, which is kind of interesting. This is a new deck for me as well. I pulled the Blossom. The card is about blooming. It's about opening up and seeing and receiving things in a different way that you probably haven't received. You know, and being out in nature and expressing and just feeling the things around you that you probably walk by every day. The birds, you know. The squirrels running through the park, you know, just these little things. So you're like a flower, you know. You've been kind of closed for a little bit. Now it's time for your petals start to wiggle a little bit and start moving open, and you know, to start letting that light in, let that great spirit energy come through you, and just wait for that bee to come in. You know, just land on you and pollinate you a little bit, and you know, and I don't mean that in a weird way. I'm just visualizing this. This thing going in her life. What's happening, Katie?
And I picked a card that said "Expect the best," and it reads, "You're being advised by your higher self and guides to start each day expecting divine guidance to direct, support, and happily surprise you. By entering a state of expectation, you create a vacuum in your vibration." The universe doesn't tolerate a vacuum, so it will seek to fill it with exactly what you expect. If you expect struggle, you attract struggle. If you expect guidance, synchronicity, and celestial gifts, you attract that as well. Your guides are advising you to shift your awareness to positive expectation, which acts like a magnet that attracts all you need when you need it. It creates a powerful vibration that will be felt and answered by your guides immediately. Take the risk and expect good vibes. They will show up. So put your expectors out there and expect the best. Expect good and positive things to come.
Cool.
Wow. Okay. So for you, I have the... Houston Coyote. So you're talking about being kind of ornery, playful, kind of, you know, got that going on. This card definitely embodies that. So I'll read what it says about the Houston Coyote. The first numbered card is the in the traditional tarot is the Magician. So this is the Native American magician, the one who brings, he is known to various tribes. He brought fire to humanity, as Prometheus did in Greek mythology, similar to the Norse god Loki in temperament. Nothing is sacred, therefore everything is equally important to him. To be granted a wish by Houston Coyote is at best dubious, which means he kind of throws a little something, but it's not always what it seems like it is. So be careful in choosing the object of the wish. You are liable to get it, though not as you may have envisioned. The coyote is pictured as a representation of the four suits found in the tarot, in this one anyway, fire, and, let's see. It might even have a little something special in his pipe, it says. So you got to watch out for that anyway. But the coyote's influence ranges from the lush green of the buffalo fields to the majestic purple mountains of the Rockies. The card is traditionally attributed to the planet Mercury, the god who bears the wand, baton, or with the Native American, the pipe. The essence of this card is action in all forms and phases, the electric charge of constant creation. Be creative. The trickster has no conscience. If fair means fail, then he uses foul. The legends of the coyote, Loki, and Mercury are myths of cunning. They do not operate on the intellectual level. They use unconscious will. So what that's telling me is that there's some influence going on in your life that has two sides to it. Can be a good aspect, but also can also take with what it gives and gives you something different than what you expected. So sometimes things come wrapped up in packages that aren't what they seem, you know. So you have to be a little discerning, but at the same time just be accepting of what's coming to you because it's for your higher good too. So, you know, you may wish for, you know, a new car, but then that means that your old car has to break down and get destroyed or something. So there's an aspect of that going on. So just be aware of it. Don't be afraid of it, but just know that that sometimes things will come along to teach us about things we didn't exactly figure we were going to learn. I guess is what I'm
saying.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
That's what happened this morning. He tells me one thing, he does something else behind me.
Okay, there you go.
That's what happened this morning. And I'm not in the country for a week now. So I just came back from the U.S.,
Now,
I'm like, wait.
Do you have children?
No.
No children? Okay. All right. I'm just curious. Picking up kid energy for some reason, but all right.
Maybe.
Very
I,
good. Maybe what?
Maybe later on.
Trickster again. Yep.
I said maybe it's the inner child.
Maybe. Well, very good. Thank you very much for Rosemaria for calling. We really appreciate
Thanks.
You.
That's helpful.
Sure. And tune in next time. Let us know what happens.
All right, thank you.
To be continued. Yes. Wow.
All right, we're just about out of time, guys.
Yeah, boy, the time goes by fast.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad that Baker Dan couldn't patch him through. I don't know where
sometimes it's like that. Our guests just either something comes up or they can't connect, but, you know, I guess it always happens as it should.
So, you know, Spirit wanted us to go this direction, so I'm not going to fight Spirit, you know, because I know what happens when you do that. It doesn't feel good.
You can't win, really, not
yeah.
in the long run.
So anything you want to close with real quick?
I'm going to wait till last this time.
Okay. Katie? Ladies first.
Wow. Oh, wow. No, I don't really have anything, and I'm always full of stuff.
Make that. That's a first, okay? Let's mark that on the calendar. There we go. Her laugh is good.
Namaste on my end. How's that? Namaste. Much love.
Namaste.
Love you guys. David's going to finish up.
Yeah, I just want to say...
I can see in his eyes. I can see it. Yeah.
I just want to say, you know, somebody out there needs to hear that they need to be true to themselves, that that they've been told that, you know, something about them isn't good enough or right enough, you know, and that they feel different than maybe even their family, the rest of their friends, that they just need to know that that Spirit loves them, you know, and always will be with them, and that it doesn't matter what people think as much as knowing yourself and being true to that. I think that's a lesson I had to learn. You know, I always felt kind of odd in my own family and in my own peer group, but boy, I sure came across some people who are like me, you know, and I had to find myself first in order to do that. It didn't happen first. What happened to me first was I needed to get in touch with myself. So I'm throwing that out there. I know it's a little serious, but that's just what I felt moved to say. Somebody needs to hear that. Maybe I need to hear that, too.
Very good. Thank you. We'll leave you guys with that. And it's the end of the world as we know it.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplanes, and Lenny Bruce.